I just praise the Lord for our church. You saw the pictures of scrapbooking, and you may think, scrapbooking, what does that have to do with ministry? Well, you have to realize that every person in our church has been saved as a direct result of our church. Most of them came out of communism. Most of them came out of idol worship. I mean, just everything. And I'm trying to instill in them a godly heritage, something that, you know, I grew up in a Christian family. My father was a preacher. I've started going to church when I was just a few days old. My children went to church. And as far back as I can go, I can find godly heritage. My husband's great-great-grandfather was a Baptist preacher down in the South. And so, but they have none of that. And they're completely shocked that we have such a godly heritage. And so I am trying to teach them how to be the beginning of a godly heritage. The first scrapbook we did was the first month we did their salvation, and we got pictures of when they were saved and their baptism. And then we went through what they're thankful for their family, their prayer requests. And then the next year we dwelt on the church and the ministries of the church. And then this year, well, the last 2 years, I've been letting them just build their own godly heritage. But they take these scrapbooks to work and share them with their coworkers. The one lady takes them to the nursing home. I went with her to give out bananas that day that you saw her giving out bananas. And I watched her, and she took her scrapbook and just went, and the older ladies would just touch it and go, oh, oh, and they would just kiss it. They bring it up and kiss it because it was something. We're teaching the ladies how to pass down a godly heritage to their children. I also have a Bible study that I teach once a month. I have a Sunday school class I teach called the Lydia class. They were given the choice what biblical character they wanted, and they all wanted Lydia. So I teach that on every Sunday. I enjoy that tremendously. We're very active, and every day it's just been a whirlwind for the last couple of years. I told Bob I can't wait to get to America to relax, but I don't think that's going to happen either. But I just wanted to say, last Sunday as we were sitting in church, and I looked around at all the deaf people, and I looked around at all the hearing people, and I thought, Lord, what if we had not come? Where would these people be? You know, God could have chosen somebody younger. We were grandparents when God called us to the mission field. He definitely could have called someone younger, somebody with more intelligence or more energy, or, you know, God could have called somebody else, but he called us because we were willing. But had we not gone, had we said no, maybe somebody else would have gone, and maybe they would not have gone. And so I just praise the Lord for our church. There, I'm going to miss them tremendously for the next 5 months. I miss them today. I mean, it was fun singing in English. First time I've sung in English in a long time. But I'm going to miss our church. And I just really ask for you guys to pray for us on this furlough. I've been in contact with other missionaries who've had car accidents and serious problems on furlough. And so I just pray that you would pray for us. And I can feel your prayers in Ukraine. So many, you know, people get sick, and we have been so healthy, and God has protected us, and we have not lost any support except for our home church that we used to have. I don't want to go there. But as of that, we have not lost any support, and the Lord has been gracious and good, and I can't praise him enough for all he's done for us.
You saw a picture there of the couples that are taking our place in the hearing church. The tall fellow was Dima, and the guy grinning over on this side, it looked like a young Jerry Lewis. That's Eager, and his wife is Lena. They're the ones that live at the church in the apartment that the preacher was talking about. They've been there about 3 years. According to the law, we have to have somebody on the property all the time, so we have to have people that live there. So for the last 3 years, Eager and Lena have been there, and they there were no showers at the church, and the bathrooms were a separate building, so that in the wintertime, when, you know, there's 2.5-3 feet of snow in the middle of the night, you got to go to the bathroom. It's just like the old days around here. They had to run outside and run up to the bathroom. No heat in the bathrooms. And so God has blessed, and our folks have given, and we are building indoor toilets for them, or not indoor, but connected toilets with showers. And we are enlarging our kitchen because their kitchen is also the church kitchen. And so God is really blessed, and it's been an interesting project, building materials that are different and metrics and ideas of how to do things that probably came somewhat after Noah built the ark. It's just been an interesting project. Eager is our construction man. He is the constructor of the new section on the church. So pray for him. They are tiling their bathroom this week, and they're excited. Before we left, we went to the what would be the Home Depot, and we let them pick out what color tile they wanted and what color of, you know, wallpaper and what kind of this and what kind of that. And they've never been able to make those kind of decisions before. Soviet Union people don't make decisions well, because all their decisions have been made for them for 70 years, and they're afraid to make decisions, might be the wrong one, or they don't feel the confidence to make a decision. So it's been an interesting experience helping them through that. Did you see anything in the video that you had a question about, or do you have any questions about what we're doing or why we're doing it? Slava is the deaf pastor. He was the guy in the deaf section that was, there were three pictures of him kind of like this. He had a blue t-shirt, I think, on. He was saved just after our first year anniversary. His wife and daughter are deaf as well, and they came to our church, but Slava was an atheist. He was a communist. He was a hooligan. He was a typical unsaved fella. But his wife kept talking to him, getting him to try to come to church, and on our first anniversary, Slava came to church. But he sat in kind of the back of the auditorium. We were renting a theater in those days, and he kind of sat there with his arms folded, you know, and sort of with the idea of entertain me, or who are you, or you're an American, I hate Americans kind of thing. But at the end of the invitation, I asked him, could Judy and I come over to your house and just talk to you? And he said yes, because in those days an American was a very odd thing to see. There were no Americans in our city, or very few until we got there. So we went to Slava's house, and his wife had been praying for him. So we walked in the door and sat down at their table, and we had tea. It's customary to give tea and something to eat when you go visit. And we talked about the Bible, and I gave him a Bible, and he had questions, just general questions, and why are you here, and why do we need you here, and why can't, you know, what? All just questions. So we talked to him until about 10 o'clock at night. And we got up to leave, and his wife said, no, his wife's name is Tanya. You can't leave yet. He's not saved yet. You can't go home yet. So I said, is it okay if I come back in the morning? And Slava said, yeah, that'd be all right. So we went home. The next morning I came back. On every door in Ukraine to an apartment or house has one of those little peepholes in it so you can see who's outside. So when I knocked on Slava's door, I could see that somebody looked through the peephole because the light disappeared. So I figured Slava saw me, he wasn't going to open the door. So I banged again. They have a light, actually, it's a light. And pretty soon the door swung open. Slava grabbed me by my coat, pulled me through the door. He said, I want to get saved. I want to get saved right now. And I said, okay. It's customary you have to take your shoes off. So I said, let me take my shoes off. So we went in, and as we were walking into his apartment, I noticed in the kitchen was the first room on the left. His wife and daughter were praying. They had prayed all night in the kitchen for Slava. Pray. Don't ever quit praying. We went into his living room, sat down. He said, I want to get saved. I said, well, let's just go over it one more time. So we went over it. I went over it again. And he accepted Christ as a Savior. But he was an atheist. He had no background. So he was like a 30-year-old kid in Sunday school. He had questions about questions. He had questions about everything. Why did this happen? What about this verse? What does this word mean? It was just like teaching a kid in Sunday school. It was great. And I discipled him. On Sundays, we have a big whiteboard in our church for deaf church because they write the verses down. Because if you say, look at John 3:16, everybody's head goes down and communication is over. So we write the verse up there. And on that big whiteboard, every day after church, Slava would come up and he'd have this yellow, like a legal pad, like this, and it'd be just chock full of questions. Well, what about this verse? So I look up the verse, and I carry always, or I don't carry it, but in the podium always is a Strong's Concordance, because Slava has so many questions, I just have to look them up. So he says, what about this? So we'd go to the whiteboard, and we'd draw pictures and write things and go to different verses. Well, pretty soon there started to be a crowd of people up there after church. So we had Sunday school, church, and then we had after church. And the crowd grew to 30, 35 people after church listening to Slava's questions because they had the same questions. They just didn't know how to ask or were afraid. Well, I noticed that Slava, when somebody would ask a question, Slava was standing down, and we have two steps like this, and Slava would turn to him and he'd answer the question. So after about 5-6 months, when somebody would ask a question and Slava would turn to answer it, I would say, Slava, why don't you come up and write it on the board so everybody can see it, because there's people who can't see it. So after about a month, I started just backing up. Slava just started taking over the question-answer period. Well, it was time to get a pastor. And Slava, the culture there is distrust, total distrust of everybody and everything. Slava didn't want to be pastor because he was afraid that people would think he was stealing the money. So I said, all right, that's not a problem. I explained to him, since he was kind of the leader now, everybody's really looking to him. I said, I'll tell you what, we'll pass out pieces of paper and people can nominate who they want to be pastor. And I already knew it was going to happen. Slava said, yeah, we can do that. So we did. We passed out a piece of paper, and I said to Slava, they had gathered them all up, I said, Slava, would you go back and count these, or give me the names, so that we can next week we'll vote. Well, so he and we sent out somebody else with him. They went through all those sheets of paper, 50, 60 sheets of paper. Every one of them had Slava's name on them. So he came back in. He had this big grin on his face. And we didn't even vote. That was the vote. And so Slava became the pastor, and he's been doing a great job now for 4 or 5 years as the pastor. They have a deacon. He was the other fellow in the picture with him, with Slava. And they support two missionaries, one of them here in America and another one in close to Siberia, to the deaf. So it's just, he's a blessing. He is a blessing. He preaches. He's an evangelist. He's a pastor. He's a missionary. He's an organizer. He is just, he's everything. And God has just really blessed and worked through him. He travels around Ukraine. Of course, there are deaf everywhere. And so he travels to various cities in our deaf camp, the kids' camp. He goes to those churches just like an evangelist would go, advertising for the camp. And when the family camp time comes, he preaches all to the family camp. So he's a blessing. Praise the Lord for Slava. You pray for him because, you know, when you're serving the Lord and you're doing what God tells you to do, there's one, I guess you could say he's a person. There's one person who just hates it. And there's one person who fights at every step. There's one person that does everything they can to stop it, and that's the devil. And so Slava has gotten the reputation around Ukraine as because he preaches only the Bible, does not preach tradition, does not preach any of those other things. He only preaches Scripture. The deaf in Ukraine that don't even know him don't like him because of what they've heard. Some people say our church is a Pentecostal church. Some people say it's a some strange cult church because they don't like Slava. But Slava still goes out and preaches, and people get saved. And he's been here a couple times to the States. Did you see anything else you had questions about? Yes, ma'am.
I saw that someone bedridden on a card.
Yes.
That really touched my heart.
That is Alina. Her name is Alina. I was able to lead her to the Lord when she was 12. But some short time before that, she developed a disease that causes the bones in her body to turn to jello or jelly. Yeah, when they take an x-ray of her torso, they don't see anything because there's like, I don't know how to explain it, jelly there for bones. And so, yes, sir?
Is the language hard to learn? Do you preach in the language?
I do not preach in the language. We have an international church, and that's the excuse I use. We have medical students from Indonesia and India and Cameroon and several other countries that go to the medical college there. They don't speak Russian. They don't have to speak Russian to go to the college. main reason I don't preach in Russian is I did not go there to reach Russian-speaking people. We went to reach the deaf. So we concentrated on sign language, but not on Russian. Don't ever do that. So we're fluent in the language to the point that we can do business, we can shop, we can do visiting, we can do some counseling. But I'm afraid to preach in Russian. When you preach, you're dealing with eternity, and you're dealing with souls and hearts, and you're fighting Satan. And my Russian, I'm afraid, would not be good enough, and I would hate to think that because of my Russian, somebody went to hell. So, yes, sir.
How does a deaf choir work?
They don't use tapes. Usually the choir leader stands kind of someplace there, and they all up here copy, and everybody's deaf, so they don't, it just works, and it's all together synchronously. It's very beautiful, actually. In sign language, yeah. Huh? No music. There's no piano player. I may have told you this before. I love this. I sat down at the piano. We have a piano at the church. And I was just pounding and beating and going, you know. And Slava said, "Wow, you play better than Judy does." And I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I practice a lot. And, you know, and I'm just bing, bong, bong." He said, "Does that music come out in English or does it come out in Russian?" Yes, sir.
I noticed you're on the Black Sea.
Yes, sir.
What's the Muslim population, and have you been able to reach it?
Yes, we have. In the peninsula that we live on, there's a indigenous group of Muslims called Tatars, T-A-T-A-R-S, Tatars. And about, I guess, 30% of that population of that peninsula is Muslim. But they're not radical Muslims. They were deported under Stalin to Tajikistan and a bunch of places, and now they're all starting to come back. But we had a man who was a Muslim that got saved in our church that God laid on his heart to reach the Muslims. And we've had probably, just a guess, but I would say around 20 Muslims saved through the years. But that man died last year, young man, had a heart attack. And so right now we do not have anybody reaching them, but they're there. They're there.
He died in church.
We were having a servants' banquet, and we were having it out in our courtyard. We have a beautiful courtyard covered with grapevines. It's just really nice. And we were having a servants' banquet. He died during the servants' banquet. So he is a servant at a servants' banquet, servant of the Lord, who went to meet the one he was serving while at the servants' banquet. That'll preach. Yes, ma'am.
Is the religion predominantly Russian Orthodox?
Absolutely. Russian Orthodox. Mm-hmm. They are almost a state church. Yes, sir.
How can we specifically pray for you and the ministry? What are certain things that we
need
to pray for?
We need some replacements. As Judy said, we were grandparents when we went there, and now we're great-grandparents. And through the years, we've had probably a dozen or so American missionaries that have come through, either for training, learning the language, getting experience, that kind of thing. But we've also had about that many nationals that have come through from other churches that came down to get some experience and training and whatnot, and they've gone other places. But nobody wants to stay. The last family that was training with us left this year. They went on furlough, and they're not coming back to Simferopol. So we're by ourselves again. But we are, I won't tell you how old Judy is, but I'm 62. And I'm not going to tell you that she's 1 year younger than me, but she is. And so we are needing somebody to take our place on the mission field. In the last 5 years in Ukraine, just in Ukraine, we know of, these are the ones that we know of, 7 missionary families have left Ukraine. Some for visa problems, some for health problems, some the Lord just moved them out. But they're not being replaced. Missionaries, one particular family was on deputation to go there and just decided they were not going to be missionaries anymore, and they were on deputation and quit being missionaries on deputation. He went and I don't know what he's doing. So there's not people coming in. So if you could pray for, I'll tell you what would be the best thing. pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. All right. Yes, sir.
What's the duration of your teen camps and how far away do the kids come?
Teen camps are a week long, usually Monday through Friday, because they come from all over Ukraine. We have missionary friends and church plants all over the country. So they have to get there after their church service, and then they have to be able to get back before the next one on Sunday. So Monday through Friday. And they come from all over Ukraine. Plus, there's a good missionary couple in Belarus that sends their teens over. And the goal is to have 100 teens every year, and that's how much God gives us. So.
And what's the cost of sending a kid to teen
camp? The cost for 1 week of teen camp is about $45. And that includes a nice t-shirt that they get to take home. About 45. What? Yeah, the missionaries pay that for them usually. Yeah. What's it cost here for a week of teen camp?
Where we've been going recently is my faith individually owned property, and we charge the kids $25 each that goes to the camp and the speaker, and then we make a donation. But
approximately what would it cost?
Yeah. Go to the Wiles here, it's almost $300 for a week now.
We have great speakers.
Yeah, we do. We invite speakers to come, youth men from the States to come and preach at our teen camps. We have a men's conference, you saw. A great missionary from Mexico, Brother Ramos from Mexico, came and preached there a couple of times, or once. The president of Ambassador Baptist College was there two summers ago, I think, preached for teen camp. Yeah, brother. So. Yeah, when you come to Ukraine, we're still a little bit communist. So when you get to passport control, if you're a foreigner coming in, they want to know where you're going after that. So you need to have a hotel name or an address to present to them, say, I'm going to this place. If you don't, it becomes a hassle, doesn't it?
The line backs up.
But God has been good. I mean, he seriously has. There are visa law changes that take place regularly, but God has still allowed us to stay under our old 3-year visa. We go in and out. Nobody else in Ukraine has had that experience. Praise the Lord, God has allowed us to do that. He just blesses, and we can't figure out how come, but we sure do enjoy it. Any other questions?
Explain this a little bit about the Russian Sign Language, American Sign Language, and you speak in English and have a translator to translate Russian.
Russian Sign Language is totally 100% different than English or American Sign Language, except for the sign Jesus. It's the same. It's pretty much universal. That sign's pretty much universal. The alphabet is Cyrillic, not Roman, so letters are different. Even if you're trying to learn how to read, pick out a grocery store or find the, whatever. The stop signs, oddly enough, all the stop signs are American stop signs. 8-sided red with the word stop in English across them. They must have got a great deal somewhere. I don't know why they would do that. But other than that, if you can't read, if you don't know your Cyrillic alphabet, you just will not be able to find a train station. You'll not be able to recognize a taxi. I mean, it's just a totally different environment. I, as I said, preach in English, and then I have a young lady, or actually, she's a young lady, who translates for me. She's been translating for me for 12 years. And so we can speak simultaneously. When I preach to the hearing, and we have hearing people who speak English, I speak in English, and the microphone points over like this, and she, at the same time I'm talking, she's talking in Russian to the people who speak Russian. It's very good. And God has used it. Now, when I go counseling, or if I go in visitation, of course, I don't take a translator. It's not very comfortable to do for the people who want to talk. But God has just blessed it. In Deaf Church, when we first started, we were learning sign language. And so I preached in English. And then a lady by the name of, I forgot, Irina, stood over here. She translated from English into Russian. Another lady over here by the name of Taya, she listened not to me, but she listened to Irina. And she translated from Russian into Russian sign language. So it was really interesting. But God just, I'm telling you, God is an amazing God. And He'll use the weaknesses that you have and He'll turn them into strengths. And He'll just use the foolishness that we do trying to do God's will and He'll just bless it. And so, praise the Lord. My time's over. One of our young ladies, 31 I think, or two, something like that, surrendered to be a missionary this past month, about a month and a half ago. And Lord willing, she's going to come to Oklahoma City and go to college. And so pray for her. She's trying to raise her financial support as well. Huh? Her name is Lena. Right, Lena. Okay. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.